InBev, the world's second largest brewer, was created when the Belgian company Interbrew bought the Brazilian brewer AmBev, now the Belgian-Brazilian Consortium. And look out when those Belgians and Brazilians get together. They're looking to acquire Anheuser-Busch, maker of some quintessentially American beers. InBev Busch, AnBevin, or this disturbing anagram of InBev and AnBusch, Shaven Cub Nib. Anheuser-Busch rejected InBev's offer last month, but the Belgian-Brazilians are not giving up. Just today, they said they will try to remove the entire board of Anheuser-Busch in an attempt to add Bud, Michelob, and all the others to InBev's Bass, Stella Artois, and Beck's. That's the business part of the story. Now onto the beer part. Check out that list of beers I just read. The InBev beers, they're just better. They're tastier. They're more complex. They're less watery. Is part of Anheuser-Busch's problem that the beer just isn't that good? Let's ask Garrett Oliver, the brewmaster at the Brooklyn Brewery. Hello, Garrett.
How are you?
First, good. First, let's establish your independence. Brooklyn Brewery, not owned by a conglomerate, not looking to get bought by a conglomerate.
No, in fact, any number of conglomerates have made attempts to buy us, but no, we're pretty closely held. We're a completely private company, and we go our own way.
And do you think that the conglomerates, are, if they bought you, would try to change the recipes? Is that the worry?
I have no doubt they would try almost instantly. The materials and things that we're buying are pretty expensive, and InBev are known as ruthless cost cutters.
And so is it just a question of ingredients that makes, let's talk about Anheuser-Busch, that makes American beer taste like it does, which is to say, you know, mass-brewed American beer, kind of watery, or is it that they think that they've calculated the palate of Americans as wanting that beer?
Well, I think that for a long time they were correct. Americans maybe wanted beer that tastes like water because they didn't know any better, but these days people are drinking beer that tastes like beer, and that does require more expensive ingredients. It requires more time. So I think that that's certainly the direction that American food is going in, and American beer is going the same way.
Yeah, the American palate is becoming more sophisticated, but is there a way, I mean, I'm sure if we got Anheuser-Busch's corporate people in the room, they would scoff at you and I and saying, oh, what does this guy know? He's not in touch with, you know, middle America. But do you have counter evidence that even, you know, the normal Bud drinker's taste buds would just light up if he tasted yours or any other number of microbrews?
We see it every day. I mean, one problem that the Anheuser-Busch shareholders have is that Anheuser-Busch isn't growing. You know, their beers that taste kind of like water, well, they're growing at 1% or flat or down over the last several years, where last year, craft American beer grew by 12%. Brooklyn Brewery grew 26%. These are numbers that these big companies can't afford to ignore.
Yeah, and if you look at the Whole Foods and the Trader Joe's and all these other, you know, the American palate, it's just, even a place like Taco Bell's ascendancy shows that Americans are more willing than they were 50 years ago to try something more interesting. But that formula for the beer, for Coors and Miller and Budweiser, it really just hasn't changed in a century or half a century.
Well, I mean, think about it this way. The main maker that we all know of, supermarket white bread, is now bankrupt.
Wonder. You know,
because it's basically a bread facsimile, not really bread. Well, it's the same thing with beer. Americans want real food now, and they want real beer, and they're willing to step up and grab it. And this has been a real problem for these industrial beer makers.
What's your opinion of InBev's big brand, Stella Artois? Because in Belgium, it's not particularly seen as a gourmet beer.
No, it's thought of as something that you might drink if you have 15 minutes to kill on a train station, but that's pretty much it. The Belgians are laughing all the way to the bank. This is the cheapest beer possible. Even they don't like it over there, but it was sold to us with huge amounts of advertising, and I think that a lot of people just liked staying the name Stella Artois.
Do you think it's better than Budweiser?
Only marginally. Mm-hmm. You're talking about the slightest of differences, and it bears very little resemblance to traditional beer.
And we're talking about Pilsners, right, in each case?
Yes, Pilsners, which should have a nice, snappy bitterness to them, 100% malt, which means barley malt, which means they have a fuller flavor through the center. In other words, beer that tastes like beer. Stella does taste slightly better than Budweiser, but I wouldn't be reaching for either of them.
Are they right in thinking that Pilsner is the most populist type of beer?
Oh, that's certainly true. I mean, the golden style out of the 1850s sort of took over the world. However, people are now getting back a much wider range of beer. So the same way that we used to have one kind of bread, and now we have a whole aisle of bread, the same is certainly true of beer, too.
I know a decade or so ago, the big brewers were buying up microbreweries, and sometimes they were also doing these rebranding things, which kind of, I think, failed, where they had smaller brands like, not Red Bull, there was like a Red Dog thing that they did for a while. It didn't really work out. What happened with the microbreweries and the big brewers dancing together? What's the history of that?
Well, they had all kinds of colored animals and whatever else, and they did actually buy some smaller breweries, and those, by and large, didn't work. The one success they've had is Blue Moon, which, of course, is Coors. Not as flavorful as the European counterparts, but at least a little bit better. But there aren't very many successful American breweries, small breweries, who are interested in being bought by a conglomerate like this because they can kind of see what happens.
What's Blue Moon? Is that a Hefeweizen? Is that
That is their best selling beer, is the so-called Belgian style white beer.
All right.
And that's Coors. And it's certainly more flavorful than regular Coors beer. But of course, as far as I'm concerned, that simply leads people in our direction.
Among the big brewers, are there any beers that they produce that you think, you know, are decent, at least decent?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, these big companies are perfectly capable of making wonderful, flavorful beer if they felt like it. But they've had a culture for such a long time of getting all the beer flavor out of beer that it's really taking them a long time to think about putting it back in. I have had beers, experimental beers made by these companies that are actually quite good, but they can't bring themselves to really get away from the mass market because the lower amount of flavor you put in something, the easier it might be to sell it to everybody at once.
Do you think that they're worried that if they come out with these more flavorful beers, it will really kind of call into question the big thing that they've been doing this whole time? I mean, it's not like soda, you know? Beer is supposed to be a little more sophisticated.
Well, it's not like soda at all. I mean, beer is one of the world's great beverages, and it has a much wider range of flavor, in fact, than wine does. You know, it goes from tasting like dark chocolate all the way to tasting very much like white wines. But we've only had this one industrial product. And as soon as they start selling all different types, then yes, the whole market is splintered. The way that they go about selling their beer is splintered. And they have to do what other types of food have to do, which is sell their beers to individual people,
right,
not just into the market as a mass.
And I think they just have this picture of millions of consumers grabbing the Coors or Miller or Michelob or Bud out of the fridge and staring at it going, what the hell was I thinking?
Well, it was so much easier. I mean, a very short time ago, all you had to do was put huge amounts of television commercials on the three major networks, which is all that anybody watched, and you had everybody all at once. And you had, you know, you have a few race cars, and you've got a bunch of neon signs, and you don't have to spend any money to actually put a decent product into the can because all the money goes for advertising. So it was really a very good model because almost all the money that you used to buy the beer was actually used to sell it to you.
Garrett, you're telling me you've never walked into the brewery and said, people, here's what we've got to do. Forget the taste. We've got to widen the mouth. We've got to have the can change color when it's cold, and we have to have a Swedish bikini team. You've never said that?
No, I'm still wondering what there's one of them that says that they have the coldest beer on earth. I'm still wondering exactly how that got passed the legal department. It must be a fascinating place to work.
You know, you taste it and your tongue sticks to the beer. It's really wonderful. It's just the beer that gives back. And finally, my last question is, you know, part of the InBev plan is to sell Budweiser to Europeans. Is that going to work?
Well, the funny thing is that it actually could, because since some of the beer makers over there are not giving people as many new flavors as the creative craft brewers are in the United States, they are susceptible to being sold things by huge amounts of advertising too. So it could work. It certainly has worked in the UK and some places, but I don't think overall it's going to be a great sell. And America's overall standing in the world isn't wonderful right now. But then our dollar is kind of through the floor, so maybe that'll help them.
Garrett Oliver, brewmaster at the Brooklyn Brewery, author of The Brewmaster's Table, Discovering the Pleasures of Real Beer with Real Food. Thanks for a real good interview, Garrett.
Thank you.